Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Talked to Isabella before church tonight, and I asked her if she was excited about camp. And she said, camp? Wait a second. Oh, no, she didn't say that. She said, it's only 9 days away. I'm like, it's 9 days away? So she's a little more excited, I think, than even I am. Have you been training, doing your exercises for the hike that we're going to do? You have? Okay. I'm so proud. Brother Ch- What? All right. Yeah. Why did I even ask? I wasn't thinking. Sorry. Oh, man. Well, I got Brother Chad out training for it, so he almost passed out today. Poor guy. No, I'm teasing. He did great. He did good. We've been trying to run and that, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, I think whenever we go to camp, one thing that we have a tendency to forget this time before we go is how special of a time it is in our life spiritually. And we think about where we're going to camp and how much fun that's going to be, and then just being together, and then like Sean, although he's not here tonight, he's really excited about all of the food activity that we're going to have. Because, you know, we have food activity 3 times a day. And so breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's activity time for him. So he's thrilled about that. But, you know, when we get there, it's going to be a tremendous time of spiritual cleansing in our life. A time when God speaks to us and works in our heart, and we make changes. And we make commitments to Him. Or it should be. Wouldn't you agree with that? We devote ourselves to God for a whole week. We don't have a cell phone. Well, if you had a cell phone, it wouldn't matter because we're in the mountains, and so it doesn't work, which I love. No TVs, no video games, none of that stuff. Just the Bible and a bunch of people who love God. And it's a special time. And you go to a place like that, and God does it work in us. And it might tonight be where you feel a little bit on that level like you need something like that. Like, man, sure would be nice if I was a teenager again and I could just take a week and go to camp and just be with God, you know, and have that spiritual uplifting and spiritual cleansing. Because there are times, and it might be tonight in your life, that you're feeling like, I need a cleansing in my life. I need a spiritual overhaul, where God would just move in and make adjustments in my life. Patterns would change and align up with what God wants me to do. And struggles that I have where I am being dragged through the dirt of this life, you know, because our sin in this world and our flesh has a tendency to drag us through the dirt, and it makes us feel, I would say a good word is overwhelmed with the battles that we face at times. And so we get to that time in our life when we're feeling like our life, or just our general life, where we are spiritually, needs to be cleaned up, like a cleansing. I've tried to change some of my eating patterns, and in doing some research, I found this article by a lady named Ann Baker, who wrote about the effects of toxins in our body. And she made mention in her, you know, in her article, which was a really interesting article about toxins, that today, and I think I've had a conversation with a few of you about this in the past, but that today the food that we are generally putting in our bodies is it's like garbage, you know. It's like the processed foods and the commercially sort of farmed foods. We put these things into our body, and then whenever our body starts trying to process these foods, to, you know, digest these foods and work through the, you know, pull the nutrients out, it has a hard time. In fact, toxins in our body begin to build up because of what we're eating, because of the stuff that's the chemicals that are in our food. And it takes a long time for our body to get stopped up with toxins. Our body you know, whenever it stores up, guess where it stores up? It's a little thing we call, it's a three-letter word we call fat. That's where it stores. In fact, toxins love fat. That's where they sort of feed on that. And whenever you have a lot of toxins in your body, generally, now I'm not, of course, pointing any fingers tonight, so don't get mad at me, okay? I'm just reading the article to you, okay? I'm just going over what Ann Baker said about this. But she said that toxins often make you feel, or rather keep you fat, sick, and tired. That's what she said. I just pulled that right out of the article, okay? But our liver is what works really hard to keep our body detoxified, or detoxing. It's constantly working to detox us, our liver. Well, there's other parts of our body that works, but the liver is the key, the key organ that works to detox our body. Always working to detox. But your liver works overtime whenever you put things in it like medication. And I would guess that most in here wouldn't do this, but when you consume alcohol, probably nobody in here should consume alcohol, but not probably. Nobody in here should consume alcohol, but that works your liver overtime. Caffeine, I hate to admit that one. Caffeine. But it makes our liver to struggle to detox our body. It makes it work overtime. And then how about this? And she just puts this word in there, or this phrase in there. Poor food choices. There's no clarity on that. Just poor food choices. And it makes our liver have a hard time working to, digest these things. And so in the process, what happens with all of these man-made chemicals that we're putting into our body can't get them out. And so they begin to store up. And they really love to store, as I said, in these fat cells of our body. And they end up turning around, these toxins end up turning around and making us feel, guess what? Crummy. They make us feel low in energy, tired. We have a hard time whenever our body is clogged up like this. No matter what you try, you can't seem to lose any weight. Because your body is got all these toxins. And then it turns into pain, and you just feel pain almost on any level of your body. So this detoxifying, I said the liver is a key component in this process. But also your liver does two things. It's amazing. The liver is such an amazing organ in our body, but it detoxes us, but it also helps to digest our food. It's a key part of the digestion process. And so whenever it's working overtime, it's not digesting properly. And our body just cannot lose any weight because we cannot digest our food the way that it's supposed to. And then we get overloaded with these toxins. And as I said, it stores in the fat cells. Now these toxins, let me give you one more thing just to remind you. They keep you fat, sick, and tired. That's what she said. They make you feel crummy, low of energy, and just feel pain. That's what toxins do. Now it might be that everything that I mentioned to you is exactly how you're feeling spiritually tonight. Crummy. Like, low. Pain, spiritually speaking. Sick, tired. Just not doing well spiritually. And so here's what it sounds like you need. Now, it might have been that you got under just a tad bit of conviction about the actual physical, remedies, or rather physical things that I said about our physical, toxins and our body needing detox. It might be that your body needs detoxed. Your body needs to be cleansed. But tonight, I want to speak to you about your walk with God, your spiritual life, because we might need cleansing tonight. And yes, our teens are going to go and they're going to hear the Word of God. Our young people are going to go. They're going to hear the Word of God for a week, and God's going to do a spiritual overhaul in their life. There's going to be a cleansing. But you might not have the ability to go do something like that, and God wants to give you the ability, the same ability tonight, to be cleansed, to be detoxed, so that you're not spiritually feeling crummy anymore, not feeling tired and low and sick when it comes to your walk with God. Now, Peter has been declaring to these Christians that they need to become holy like he is holy. Remember? In our text, he said, "Be holy as he is holy." Look at verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written," verse 16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So he's challenging them to change the patterns of their life, isn't he? Well, how would you say that, Pastor? Well, he's saying you need to be holy. And who do you pattern yourself after? As he is holy. So you be holy like God is holy. You follow His pattern. You follow His guidelines. And God will then set the boundaries for you and He'll guide you along the way. But you might say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't really care about being holy. Then what you do then is set yourself up for judgment, which we also spoke about, didn't we? In fact, we talked about it for 2 weeks. Look at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, that means if you're saved, you call Him your Father, who without respect of persons, what's that next word? Judgeth according to every man's work. That means you're not going to escape. You decide, I'm not going to be holy. I'm not going to change my patterns to pattern myself after Him. Then you will not escape the consequences. He will judge you. You say, well, that's not very nice. But then we said the last time we were in Peter, didn't we? That He has all of the authority that He desires to judge us. And He has not only the authority to judge us, but He has the responsibility to judge us. You know why? Because He's redeemed us. He owns us. We are not ourselves. We belong to Him. Look at verse 18. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. In other words, you didn't save yourself, but you were redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So He bought you. He can judge you because He owns you. Well, what was the price? His own blood. Was He willing to make that payment? Yes. And I don't know about you, but I would guess that would make us feel just a tad thankful, wouldn't you? Think that? Yeah. He bought us with His blood. Yeah. Look at verse 21. Who by Him do believe, that's us, believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so His desire is that we might pattern ourselves after Him. But in order for us, now watch this, folks. For you to pattern your life after Him, it would mean you would have to change the patterns of your life. It would mean you have to change some things. And we know how it is to change things at times, don't we? It's pretty hard, isn't it? We get set in our ways, don't we? And we don't want to change. But God comes on the scene and He said, hey, listen, I saved your soul. I purchased your soul. You belong to Me. I think you should pattern yourself after Me. Here's the guidelines. Here's the standard. Here's how I want you to live your life. And so we decide, I want to pattern myself after the Father. And then we sort of exercise this thing in our life of being holy because He is holy. You know what that does in your life? Watch this. It leads us right into what we're saying tonight. It leads you into a pattern of life that will one step at a time begin to cleanse your walk. It will begin to cleanse your spiritual life. There will be a cleansing as you make yourselves holy, as you live for Him as He wants you to live, as you pattern yourself after Him, then He will begin to cleanse your walk with Him. He will begin to cleanse your life. And so therefore, a purifying takes place. That's what cleanse means, purifying. A purifying of our soul, of our life, begins to transpire. In verse number 22, which is where our text today begins, it's not making reference to the purifying or the saving of our souls. It's making reference to the changing of our life as we begin to pattern ourselves after our Father, okay? So now let's read our text. We're going to be studying tonight verse 22, through verse 25. So verse 22, follow along, we'll read to verse 25. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is, or rather, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let me have prayer with you, and we'll study tonight. Father, one more time we pray for your word, that it would touch our hearts and lives, that we would, Lord, be obedient to you and followers of you. Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, tonight we're talking about cleansing, and you will never experience a cleansing without the Word of God. In fact, whenever you decide to obey the Word of God, then you will only, it's only then will you begin to experience the cleansing of God in your life. The Spirit of God, when we hear the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, the Spirit of God then begins to work on us. You see that? And as He works on us, it shows up in our life. It shows up in how we treat each other. It reminds me of 1 John, where in 1 John he says, you say you're saved, but you hate your brother. You say that you know Jesus, but you hate the guy on the other side of the auditorium. He says, oh, you deceive yourself. Listen, we can't say that we're saved and growing in the way that God wants us to grow without it showing up in how we love each other. The lives of the Christians that Peter is speaking to had been purified. In fact, that's why he speaks to them about the purification of their souls, is that as they, assuming that they would live holy as he is holy, that their life is being purified by the Word of God, and then the power of the Holy Ghost would start to work on them. And Peter is identifying that in their life, and it would show up in how they would treat each other. It would. Look at verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls, watch this, in what? Obeying the truth. So obeying the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God, what does that do to your life? It purifies your life. It purifies your walk, your daily routines. It makes you holy whenever you are obedient to the truth, obedient to the Word of God. Obedience, what is that? And our kids sing about it, don't they? Obedience. O-B-E-Y, obey always, right? What does it mean? Well, obedience is compliance. It's submission. And we are submitting ourselves to the Word of God. It's like whenever you go to the kitchen and you're going to make something delicious, like my wife does every day, multiple times a day, which is why, anyway, I want to go into what I started at the beginning. Anyway, great cook. Well, last night I decided to try something because I am trying to, you know, in a way, detox on some off of some things. And so I've changed in some of my eating patterns. So I went online, which is always true. Go to the internet. Everything you read is always true. Anyway, I found this article about how to make homemade banana, all-natural banana pudding. All-natural banana pudding. And you're like, how is that even possible, right? But I found this recipe, and I printed it off, and I started, you know, doing everything right. You know, listen, whenever it comes to cooking, for me, more is more. I mean, you put more in, hey, it calls for a teaspoon, two. You know, I mean, more is more, right? Well, I tried to as well as I could because I've had some bad experiences with more is more when it comes to recipe. The recipe pretty much knows how to make it correct, doesn't it? And if you do it the way the recipe says, then more than likely your finished product is going to be right. So in other words, obedience is just, I mean, it's following the instructions, right? Doing it the way that it's supposed to, and doing it in the right order. You can do the right things, or have the right ingredients, but do it the wrong way. And part of the ingredients of this banana pudding, which actually we had some of today, is pretty good. But you smush up these bananas with almond milk, and we put some agave in there, and some, anyway, I can't remember, cinnamon. Put a little cinnamon there, smush it all up, and sort of got that stirred up. And then we went over here, we had to put some cornstarch with some more almond milk, and sort of get that stirred up. And then once you have them both sort of mixed, then you combine them. But don't do it. Don't combine them until you mix them separately. I don't know why that is. I always wonder what will happen, you know, if it will be like a chemical explosion or something. But you have to not only do the right ingredients, you have to do it in the right order. And that's obedience. And that's really what God says here. He says, obey my word. If you obey, if you apply the proper things as I've taught in my word and do it my way as God has taught in his word, not your way. You can do the right things your way and it won't turn out right. Do what he says and do it his way, and here's what it'll do in your life. It will cleanse you. It will purify you. It'll purify your life. He promised that it was so. Matter of fact, the word purify has to do with the cleansing of our way. That's what the word purify means, a cleansing. Listen to this verse. It's such a powerful verse. Matter of fact, if you're taking notes, you should write this verse, okay? It's Psalm 119, verse 9. Listen close. It has to do with purifying. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a question. Listen to the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy what? Word. And so it's obeying the word of God. Obeying God's word then begins to cleanse our life. It purifies our life. So tonight you might desire a cleansing in your life. Not just desire, you might have already identified some areas in your walk with God, your spiritual life, that needs cleansing. And you know it's there, you've identified it, and the desire is there, but just having a desire is not good enough because you do not have the ability. You do not have the ability to cleanse your own life spiritually. Without the Holy Ghost working, it cannot be done. Look at verse 22 again. Look what he says. He says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the what? Through the Spirit. So the Spirit of God has to work that we might have the ability to obey the Spirit of God. We did a study in Bible class. It's been months ago, but it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And I know in our Bible studies, I hope that all of us today study our Bibles every day. But I'm sure at the same time, even if you do study your Bible every day, at times you get in there and you think, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Well, part of the reason why you don't understand the Scripture is because you also need the Holy Ghost. Please listen tonight. You need the Holy Ghost to reveal to you the meaning of it. Like, the Spirit of God has to teach you, to show you the meaning of the Word of God. It's not an intellectual understanding. It's the Spirit of God who makes it possible for us to understand the Word of God, that we might obey the Word of God, so then we might have a cleansing that God wants us to have. The Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God works in you whenever you hear the Word, which, by the way, is why it's important that you hear the Word of God consistently, that you're always under the teaching of the Bible. Oh, we shouldn't take it for granted that our pastor is going to get up and just knock it out of the park. You know, so we thought, oh man, that was good message. We need to be under the teaching of the Word of God, but we need to have our hearts in tune with the Spirit of God. That as the Word of God is being taught and preached, that the Spirit of God will apply it to your life, and tonight more than likely He already is. You feel Him speaking to you and guiding your life, guiding your steps. Oh, that is incredibly important as we understand the cleansing process of our spiritual life. The cleansing process. Okay? So the Spirit works to cleanse the way. But you know, it always shows up in our life, doesn't it? Whenever our life is cleansed by the Word of God, how does it show up? Oh, it's one simple word. Love. Every time. This is great. I love it at the end of camp by Thursday. Our young people who've been under a constant flow of the fountain of the Word of God, that by the end of the week, there's in the campus this one thing that is just so beautiful. You know what it is? It's the love of the brethren. Look at it again, verse 22. Here's what it says, verse 22. Let me see. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave... Oh, rather, I'm in the wrong verse. Seeing that ye have purified your... That didn't sound right. By the obeying of the truth, through the Spirit of God, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so our obedience to the Word of God begins to change in us, and it change and cleanse us, and it shows up in our relationships. And it happened with these Christians that Peter is speaking to. Their relationships with the brethren were changed. It uses the word unfeigned. You're thinking, whoa, what does that mean? Unfeigned. It means a sincere love. Literally means without hypocrisy. That you come to church and you're not playing like you love people. You really do love each other. I mean, you come here and it's not like, I got to go to church and act like I like everybody. No, no, no. When the Word of God begins to cleanse your life, when you show up in the house of God, it shows up in your love, and it's genuine. It means love deeply from the heart, unfeigned. Yeah, that's what it means, sincere love. Yeah. So when we decide to obey the Word of God, then it begins to show up whenever we start to... At church, you know, I think we go and we sort of said, and if you've not been exposed a lot to the preaching, or if you've not been to church a lot, you know, maybe just come every so often, then one thing you'll probably struggle with is love, loving everybody else. And so you come and you come, and then all of a sudden stuff starts changing in your life. You just keep coming and you keep hearing the preaching, and then all of a sudden you start having these unusual feelings about everybody else. And it's, you know, it's kind of this change in you that's very strange for you possibly. And you start to have these feelings like all of a sudden I care. You know, I care about everybody. Where did that come from? So we start to love each other. We start to care. And it's because the Spirit of God is working in us. I love this. He works in us. So the Word of God will become in us a constant source. Now, oh, get this. A constant source of encouragement and growth. And it's whenever we decide to follow in obedience to the Word of God. But I want you to mark something else as we go on. If you decide not to obey the Word of God, the only other option really is to live in the flesh. And that, by the way, does not produce anything that lasts. It doesn't produce anything that is, you know, that will last or get you through a test. It will only let you down. Your flesh will only and always let you down. Okay? Now, Peter has said that the Word of God will produce in them something that will never corrupt. That's what he said. It'll never fade away. And but, however, if they decided to live in the flesh, that, in fact, would not last. Look at verse number, please, 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the what? Well, that's not good. Let's try it again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? By the Word of God. So the Word of God is producing, is the incorruptible seed that's working in us, which liveth and abideth forever. So he's giving an example of someone who is born again. By the way, these Christians who are born again, they were born again by not corruptible seed. Guess what the corruptible seed is? Well, look at verse number, look at verse number 24. For all what? Flesh is as grass. So this corruptible seed is the flesh. And if it's corruptible, then guess what? It's going to perish. But what about the incorruptible seed? Well, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God is what works in them unto salvation. And tonight, I think we can relate with this, can't we? He's not telling them anything they don't understand about salvation. It's when the Word of God worked in them and drew them through the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, as God drew them through the Holy Ghost and worked in them and worked in them and worked in them until they obeyed and they turned to the Spirit of God. And that's really how we get saved. It's being born again. It's not from incorruptible seed. It's from corruptible seed, the flesh, but it's incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God that's working. And remember the day when you got saved? Do you know what happened whenever you got saved? You heard the Word of God. Because you can't get saved if you don't hear the Word of God. That's what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. For by faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And that faith is salvation. You cannot get saved if you do not hear the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. So you hear the Bible. You hear the Word of God. And God works in you through the Spirit. Remember when that happened to you? And he was speaking to you and told you you needed to be saved. And he drew you. And you turned to him in salvation. Do you know what he gave you? He worked in you with an incorruptible seed. That means it fades not away. It means that it'll never perish. It'll last forever. That's encouraging. That means your salvation is going to last forever. That means you cannot lose your salvation. It means the moment you got saved, you're saved forever. Hallelujah. Incorruptible. What about the flesh? Whenever the Word of God works in our life, it produces things that last forever. But when the flesh gets involved, it produces things in our life that will not last forever, like grass and flowers that wither. Look at verse 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And so the grass withers, the flower... The grass, he's saying, is the flesh, and what it produces in you will not last. The flower is the best. You see a flower, the idea is that it's supposed to be beautiful. Well, you know, whenever you live in the flesh, what is the most beautiful thing that the flesh can produce? Well, the most beautiful thing that the flesh can produce will not last. But God's Word will work in us and draw us and get us, watch this, through our trials. And really, he's coming back to what's going to get us through our trials. Through these, you know, these struggles that we're having, really, which is what makes up the entire book of 1 Peter, the suffering that they're feeling. What's going to get us through? Well, if we allow the Word of God to work in us, then it will get us through our trials, but if we rely on our flesh, it will fail us. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we misunderstand how powerful our flesh is. Can I say that a different way? I think sometimes you don't really understand how powerful your flesh is. Can I say that? So powerful that if you don't get yourself under the preaching of the Word of God and you miss even one time, it affects you. That's what he's saying. He says you need to get yourself under the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. This is all about the Bible and the Bible's effect in our life and our exposure to the Word of God and how it affects us. Listen, the Word of God will produce in you something that will last. It will stand the test. So that when you face these trials and these burdens and these hard things, and the Word of God is cleansing and working in us and producing in us something that will stand whenever the trials come. But if we're not under the Word of God, and we get outside from under the Word of God because other things become more important, now we are getting ourselves in trouble, aren't we? Because we, at that moment, don't understand how powerful our flesh is. And the flesh only can produce in our life things that will not last. They will not stand the test. And if you're relying too much on your flesh, guess what? You're not under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You're not exposed to the Scripture like you should be. When those trials come, guess what? You're not going to stand because you're leaning on the arm of the flesh. Remember those times, Melissa, whenever we first started and you were never under the preaching of the Word of God? It required, you were then forced to lean on the arm of the flesh, and it won't last. And we saw the hurt and trial and pain, didn't we? Yeah. How about whenever it's time to get up in the morning? How many of you just love your alarm clock? I mean, it goes off super early and you're just, oh, I just love, I'm so glad that's going off right now. I'm so happy to get up. You know, I'm to that point now where the kids and I are getting up in the morning and I'm actually really enjoying it. But still, it's that moment when the alarm goes off and you say, oh, no. I have to get up. How beautiful is it? Now listen, I know you can relate with this, and don't lie, okay? How beautiful is it whenever you get to sleep in? You've been getting up, and then you sleep in. Now, so for some of you, if Melissa was here, Melissa Morgan, she'd sleep in till 6. And I'm thinking, oh man. But, you know, for most of us, sleep in a couple hours, you know, how beautiful is that? But watch what happens whenever you do that. You know where I'm going. You don't read your Bible, do you? How many of us have a tendency to sleep in and just, oh, how beautiful that is. But then we don't read our Bible, we don't pray, we don't have time with God. And then it forces us for the remainder of our day to lean on the arm of the flesh, right? A beautiful, like maybe a flower that will not stand the test of time, but it will wither. That's how beautiful sleeping in is. Yeah. I'm not against sleeping in, but let's not do it to the extent of our time with God. It'll always leave you, your flesh will always leave you empty. It'll always leave you wanting. It will never satisfy. It will never take care of you, the flesh. And the end result is emptiness. But what about the end result of the Word of God? I mean, whenever you hear the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, or you're exposed to the Word of God in your life, it produces in you things that change you and make you clean and cleanse you, and then you're able to stand the test of time, which is what he's saying in verse 25. Let's look at that again, verse 25. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So God's word will never fail you. The arm of your flesh will fail you, but God's word will never fail you. And so we always need to be exposed to it. We always need to be faithful to hear it. Be in the house of God. Be where God wants you to be, that you'll hear the word of God, and God's word will never fail you. Oh, I wish we could get that. Your flesh will always fail you, but the word of God will never fail you. It will never let you down. Never. It'll get you through your trials. It'll cleanse you. It'll make you clean. It'll purify you. Whenever you apply the Word of God to your life and you determine to obey the Word of God as the Spirit of God is working in you, it will purify your life. It will set you apart. It will make you right. And your flesh will never bring you to a place of taking care of you. It will always fail you, but the Word of God will never fail you. If I could just say one thing tonight, really, and just get it through to you tonight, is that God's Word will never let you down. So you're thinking about not coming to church? You better think twice about that. I'm just counseling, I believe, from the text tonight, that if you're thinking about not coming, think about what your flesh, if you decide not to come and you're not under the Word of God, what will the flesh then produce in you? Something that lasts? No. It never makes you have a better attitude when you don't go to church. Am I stepping on any toes tonight? We just need to decide, don't we? What is it because pastor says? No. Peter is saying, he's saying, and I believe God is telling us tonight, that God's word will never fail you. And your flesh will always fail you. And if you don't lean on the Word of God, the teaching, the preaching, and your own efforts in the Word of God, then what are you left to do but to lean on the flesh, which will wither and fade, and the most beautiful that the flesh can offer you will leave you empty. The most beautiful that your flesh will offer you will always leave you empty. Always. It lies to you. I believe the devil uses our flesh to get us away from God because it feels so good, right? Why would we do it if it didn't feel good? But it always leaves us empty and never gives us anything. The Word of God will never fail, never. So get under it. Be faithful to it. Be faithful to it in your day, in your patterns of life. Be holy as He is holy. Get in the Word of God and let it become a part of you so that it and apply it to your life so that God begins to change you and work in you through the power of who? The Holy Spirit. And so tonight, the Word of God will never fail. Your flesh always, always fail. Father, tonight we pray that you'll help us to rely on the power of your Word in our life, that we might be faithful, not only to study your Word, but to be in the house of God, that we might hear your Word and apply it to our life and cleanse our way. Cleanse our life. What makes camp so powerful, Lord, is your word. It's that our young people are exposed to your word 4 times a day. Wow. I pray tonight you'll help us to understand the gravity of this point, that we would always be in a position, placed in a position under the teaching of your word, whether at church, under the man of God, or at our home, at the kitchen table in the mornings with you. Lord, help us to be faithful Lord, help us not to rely on the arm of the flesh, which will always fail us. And we will give you the glory as you work in our behalf. In Jesus' holy name, amen.